brought to you by ConcordiaTheology.org, bringing you resources that support the vigorous life of the mind in service of the gospel of Christ.
Welcome to Lectionary Kickstart. We're sparking your thoughts for Sunday as you plan your sermon or teaching lesson. I'm your host and producer, Jessica Bordalo, here with Dr. David Schmidt and Dr. Peter Nafsker. They're both professors of homiletics here at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. You can hear all about us in our introductory episode, but trust me, they're pretty good preachers. All right, let's get started. Peter, where are we in the church year?
Well, it is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, but it's also the time when many congregations observe All Saints Day. And so there's a whole bunch of texts to choose from. The All Saints texts are from Revelation chapter 7 and 1 John and Matthew 5. And the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost texts are from Micah 3, Psalm 43, 1 Thessalonians 4, and Matthew 23.
And if you want to find links to those verses, go to our website. We have it all laid out for you. Which text would you preach on, David?
Well, I would go with the Matthew text appointed for All Saints Day.
Okay, Beatitudes.
I know the Beatitudes, and the text is challenging because you can't cover every Beatitude.
It's a long sermon.
It would be a very long sermon. Either it would be a very long sermon or you would gloss over.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's one of those texts where you have to make a decision. Am I going big picture and just kind of looking at this phenomenal act of Jesus, or am I going to go small picture and choose one beatitude? You know, blessed are those who are peacemakers.
Yeah.
For they shall be called sons of God. You know, so which of those do I do? And I think you could do either one. It might be that within your congregation there's people who, you know, are involved in issues of reconciliation. There are people who are mourning or, you know, whatever it is. So you could choose a smaller one and delve into that, or you could kind of go with the big picture. For me, I'm kind of gonna go with the big picture. So Jessica, if you could just read let's do something fun. Okay, so read the first verse, the entire first verse, and then quickly just read the kinds of people that Jesus names. So like in verse 3, poor in spirit. Okay, so do the whole first verse, and then just the types of people Jesus names.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account.
Okay, I love what Jesus does. The Son of God comes into the world, and his Father has set apart a place for his people to go and worship. It's the place of the temple. You're to bring your sacrifices there. You have all sorts of sacrifices for all sorts of occasions. Jessica, you worked through Leviticus, so you...
Just recently, yeah. Wow, is that interesting. All kinds of different...
Right, I mean, every imaginable life situation.
Right.
Right, they have sacrifices of Thanksgiving, and so you've got all these sacrifices. You've got the place where God has promised to be, not just for the Jewish people, but for the Gentile people. You have a court of the Gentiles, so you have... Jesus Christ, the Son of God, entering into a world where there is a place where the people of God gather and God is among them. And Jesus doesn't go there to do the Beatitudes. That's like the big thing for me is that instead he goes up on a mountain. We're not really sure where it is. Some people put it kind of on the hillside or around Capernaum. Other people locate it differently. You know, there's different places. But he's out in the world, not in Jerusalem. He goes up on a mountain, and these people who are following him, who at this point in the Gospel of Matthew, this is Matthew 5, they haven't received much instruction.
Mm-hmm.
right? They haven't received much education, much catechesis. These are people who are following him, not exactly sure where he's going.
Right, right.
And he gathers them around him, and he pronounces God's blessing upon them. And just that to me is so phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, and even just when you said pronouncing God's blessings on them, you know, blessing is a huge concept.
Oh, yeah.
In the Old Testament, the blessing that God would give to individuals. And I'm just thinking all of a sudden about just Jesus blessing the people. That's more than probably, I mean, I'd want to look at this up a little bit in the commentary, but that's significant.
Yeah, it's more than, you know, kind of good wishes or
right.
Hope things are okay.
Glad you're here.
Glad you're here.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming. No, I mean, this is a holy act.
Yeah.
A holy act bringing God's blessing, his gracious favor upon the people that God has selected, has brought together, and yet they're not together in the church. They're together out there in the world where Jesus has gathered them. And then he starts pointing at life situations that are various, right? So you've got this variety of life situations. Not everybody is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, not everybody is mourning, not everybody's poor in spirit, not everybody's a peacemaker, not everybody's being persecuted. He's got a variety of life situations around him, and for each life situation, he has a blessing. And it's just this, to me, it's a phenomenal picture of, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, who does that?
Mm-hmm.
God does that.
Yeah.
You know, and how can God gather people from all sorts of situations and bring blessing into their life like this, make a promise like this? Some of these blessings are present tense, right? You know, mm-hmm. Blessed are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And some of them are future.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are you mourned, for you will be comforted. Meek, for you will inherit the earth. So you've got this God of both the present and the future, looking at all of these life situations and gathering them together and pronouncing a blessing. It's kind of like that passage in Ecclesiastes. There's a time for mourning and a time for joy. There's a time for dancing and a time for wailing. I mean, you've got all of the times of life, and God's able to do this. How is he able to do this? And that's kind of which brings me to the gospel. Well, because of who Jesus is. He is the one who is going to make things right in the kingdom of God. And he's going to make them right for all peoples, for all peoples. And so he's able, outside of the temple and outside of all of the sacrifices, he's able to kind of start here, gather all of these people and make these promises for them as he makes his way to that temple and becomes the sacrifice for all people.
And that's where the location of this in Matthew's gospel is significant, because this is where he starts.
Right.
This is his first message.
Yes.
And which is an interesting thing to think about, because, you know, we always think about Jesus came calling his people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And of course he did.
Yes. And
yet it's this word of blessing. It's this good news, this message that he's coming to bring. And I can imagine, I think of these Beatitudes ringing in the disciples' ears kind of throughout their years with Jesus, that kind of this, your first, I mean, yeah, it's sometimes a real important message or first message you hear.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Your first impression, right?
Right,
yeah.
It sticks with you.
It sticks with you, yeah. And later in the Beatitude, I mean, later in the Sermon on the Mount, he's going to tell these people that he's gathered, that they're the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
These people?
Right.
The light of the world? I mean, it's just, I don't know. So to me, the text, the big picture of the text offers us this God who gathers all of these people together and, because of the work in Christ, is able to promise and bring present and future blessing into their lives. And it is with that memory, that reality in mind, that we name those who have died in the past year
in
the service of all saints, that we remember the saints in our life. And, you know, when you remember people, particularly in times of grief, you know, you tend to think of their good qualities, you know, and so, you know, the, you know, she was a peacemaker. She always, you know, they always use the word always when right. giving. And we know it's not true. You're not yeah. always, you know, loving. You're not always kind. But we always say that, right?
In terms always, of grief.
Always,
say
always
that?
We do the, oh, yeah, it's true. You, yeah, I, you know, you say those things, and yet you have those memories, and there's, and we have a Lord here who brings those who are peacemakers and promises them blessing. And so it's a time for the church to remember the people in the community who have died and who are now in the nearer presence of God, and to remember them in light of their Lord, who is able to gather all and is able to bring present and future blessing upon all people.
Yeah, to remember them for what Jesus has done for them and through them.
And through them, yeah. Right. Yeah, and it's something to celebrate. And it's kind of that weird thing where, you know, here we are gathered in church where we know that Jesus has promised to be, but we're remembering people and their lives outside of the church in the world and remembering them as ones that are blessed and will be blessed by God in Him.
Yeah, All Saints is one of those days where you my daughter actually just reminded me of this. We saw her this weekend up at college. And she reminded me of she loved our congregation up in Minnesota. The communion rail was the half circle.
Oh, yeah.
And she pointed to something. I don't know if she heard it from someone else or if I said it at some point, but the image of the Lord's table is a half, you know, half of us are here.
Right.
And the other half are with the Lord somewhere else around the world. And that community of fellow believers, fellow blessed ones.
Right. I went to a church, I forget where it was, they were having their anniversary celebration, and I went into the church and they had these grapevines that started at the altar and went all the way around the church, and they had made construction paper leaves with people's names on them. I am the vine, you are the branches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they had the leaves were either white or green. And for those who were dead, they were white. For those who were living, they were green.
That's better than like brown and grumpy.
I know.
Oh, no.
I know.
And
no.
It was white's better.
It was just beautiful because I liked the remembrance that there's a community of saints,
yeah,
right, and that these people are not with us now, but they are with Christ in eternity, mm-hmm. And so you
and
have
they
that
will
visible
be with
picture,
us. Yeah.
Right, and they will be with us mm-hmm. In the end and the yeah. final new creation. So yeah, so there's that. I think All Saints Day is beautiful for that.
Yeah, that really is.
And Peter, what would you preach on?
All right, so I'm still in 1 Thessalonians.
Okay.
but I find All Saints Day to be a very compelling Sunday and worth recognizing for a lot of the same reasons we just talked about with the Beatitudes and the community that has gone before us. And so I'm gonna read 1 Thessalonians 4 in that light and that context. And so, Jessica, would you read verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, and then also 9 through 12.
Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you should do so more and more. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands.
Paul's saying, you guys are doing it, and I just want to encourage you to do it more and more. I didn't have you read verse 2 to 8, because that has to do with sexuality, which it's not like I want to avoid that necessarily, but on All Saints Sunday. Well, here, let me explain why I leave that
okay.
out for now, okay? So on All Saints Sunday, you know, we think about the saints that gone before us. I always think about my grandparents.
Right.
Both sets of grandparents. They're the people who are closest to me that are no longer living with us. And so I always, particularly, I always think about my grandma. Especially she came to mind as I was reading the last couple of verses. She lived a quiet life. She minded her own affairs. She walked properly as a Christian woman, and that's always kind of a model I have in mind. And And so I think about on this All Saints Sunday, as we think about those who've gone before us, and we find encouragement in those who went before us in faith and those who went before us and walked more and more just as we've been called to walk. I think about a caution that I'd have on All Saints is it's kind of like a funeral service, right, where it's tempting to just, like you said earlier, always.
Yeah, just focus on the good.
Focus right? on the good. Yeah. And so you kind of got to be honest. You don't want to overly praise.
Yeah, they're not saints because of their works.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so I'm thinking, Augsburg Confession 21.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Boy. So I've been poking around on the confessions recently. But it's really interesting. So the Augsburg Confession is articles 1 through 21 are all kind of the basics of the faith. And then the other articles are all abuses. And the very last basic of the faith is called the cult of saints, which is, where people would worship and pray to saints. And Luther and the Reformers said, we don't pray to the saints. We don't worship them. But we do find strength in remembering them. And we find encouragement to follow their good examples. And so when I think about All Saints, I would think about this. Okay, let's give thanks for their faith and the strength of faith that we can be encouraged by. And let's also emulate their good examples.
So basically, the confessions are giving you a model of how to speak about the saints in the sermon.
Right.
Good.
Right. Yeah. Which, especially on All Saints Sunday, I usually find that kind of helpful just to revisit anyhow. So I'm thinking about models, okay? I'm thinking about models of faithfulness that can be encouraging to us and that can be examples to us. And so I think about my grandma. I think about the people in our congregation who are good models. And maybe I'd lift up some people in your home congregation who, they weren't perfect, of course, but they lived a Christian life. Or you could go all the way back to the Thessalonians. And so if you want to draw more on the letter, you could look at the various ways Paul's kind of praising them here more and more. And I'd probably go through the whole letter again and look at what are some of the specific things that he lifts up in this letter that maybe could be encouraging to us. And when I do all that, I think what I find is something that is not gratifying ourselves, but serving others. Okay, that's kind of the example. So the theme, again, I'm always reminded that these are kind of first impression things we're doing here at Lectionary Kickstart. And the theme that came to my mind was the idea of delayed gratification.
Okay.
And I get that from the text that verses 2 to 8 are all about gratifying yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. There's that sexuality, those
right.
verses kind of, and Paul's calling us to not indulge ourselves in gratification, but instead to serve others. That's
okay.
the verses that we read. And so now I'm thinking about those verses 2 to 8 are just one form of self-gratification, but there's all sorts of types of self-gratification. And I'd contrast that with the life that these saints give us, the example of denying yourself, which ultimately all flow from Christ's denial of himself, his delayed gratification, his putting others before himself for us. That's the good news. That's the promise. But then also as a model for the Christian life that we could follow. So these are the kind of things that I'm thinking about on All Saints Sunday. I want to make sure that the delayed gratification of Jesus is central. That's the good news. That's the promise. He did not gratify himself for our sake. But this goes to Hebrews a little bit. He endured the cross, scorning its shame for us. And then to think about our life of delayed gratification, putting others ahead of ourselves. There's actually a field called self-control and regulation theory.
Wow.
It's a social science field. And they've actually identified five, they call them five domains of gratification.
Okay.
Areas in which we gratify ourselves or, if not, practice delayed gratification. But the five domains are with respect to food, physical pleasure, social interactions, money, and achievement. And each of those domains, you can think about gratification, okay, indulging in a whole pack of ding-dongs or something for the food thing. Or, you
know. So now we know his food of choice.
Really? Ding-dongs?
When I was a kid, ding-dongs were so. That was like the cool. When some kid had a ding-dong in their lunchbox, that was my coveting time.
I always liked the moon pies. I don't know why. They just look like so much whipped cream. I wanted those.
My mom just gave me like whole wheat bread and carrots. Like,
That's what I got too, but I'd see the ding-dong and I'd say, oh, man. But so there's food, one area of gratification is food, the money, you know, needing to achieve more and more, get more money. Achievement is one where, you know, you just need to be praised, you need to accomplish things. So it's just interesting, this self-control and regulation theory I came across, that we're not into delayed gratification at all.
No, you only live once.
Right, you're low.
Yeah, right. I mean, so that one and the commercials are all about, you know, here's what you need, get it now, right? So that's not our way of thinking.
Right, and that is a huge contrast to the Christian life. And that's where the saints that are worth emulating, saints like my grandma, were ones who delayed that kind of, or they didn't just gratify themselves. They served others. And in doing so, they give us little glimpses of who
Jesus
is. And
what I mean, I think your sermon talking about Christ in terms of delayed gratification kind of gives us not just the good news of what he did for us, but also begins to set forth for us a way of following, life of following, because otherwise you're going to be angry at God because he's not giving you what you think you need right now.
Right.
I want you to answer my prayer right now. Mm-hmm. I want you to, you know, I want your justice to roll down right now. And so you've got this, I think the delayed gratification is a helpful theme because it speaks into a real need for us in the culture, particularly when we bring that idea of instant gratification into the church.
Yeah, and we almost can't not because it's so thick in the air we breathe.
Right. So some churches, like on Reformation, they have the practice of wearing red, and different churches do different things on All Saints' Day. So, Jessica, do you have any memories of things that churches have done on All Saints' Day? Or
I remember one of the best children's messages I've ever heard. It was from this time of year. It was the director of Christian education was giving the children's message, and he knew the names of all the little kids that came up, and he's like, "Good morning, Saint Sophia. Saint Richard, how are you?"
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And he called them by their name and said saint. And he's like, "Do you know that you're a saint? What makes somebody a saint? You know, it's not because they lived a perfect life. It's not because they are dead. And anyone who's dead is a saint. We're all sinners and saints at the same time. And because of what Jesus did for you, you're a saint too, because you belong to Jesus." And I never forgot that children's message. And whenever we talk about saints in church, it always comes back to my mind.
That's a good idea.
That's all for today. We have free resources to guide your next step in planning at concordiatheology.org. You can find more episodes of this show on Spotify, Google, Apple. If you'd like to see the show continue, please subscribe, share, leave a review. I'm your host and producer, Jessica Bordolo. Join us next week here at Lectionary Kickstart when Dr. David Schmidt and Dr. Peter Nafsker spark your thoughts for next Sunday.
When some kid had a ding-dong in their lunchbox, that was my coveting time.
I always liked the moon pies.
My mom just gave me like whole wheat bread and carrots.